In front of me, there's two dark brown butterflies circling each other in the air, a little vortex of brown and purple colour. This is quite different to Australia. I arrived in Vietnam from Perth the day before yesterday. I was greeted by Hanoi, a city of a lot of French colonial architecture, as well as kind of faux or mock French colonial architecture on the outskirts. It's extremely dense. There's 83 million people in this country. Half of them are under the age of 30. And it seemed like every single person in Hanoi was a good-looking 25-year-old on a scooter. If you've ever been through the Hanoi peak hour traffic experience, that's something you'll never forget. It's a twitching monster of reciprocity, give and take, grabbing an advantage, yielding to your opponent. It is a jungle, an urban jungle. Anyway, it took us a long time to escape the city. We travelled for just about all of yesterday, and we left pretty early in the morning, about 7:30 from Hanoi. And it took us a long time to actually feel like we'd entered the country. That's because there's this ribbon development along the streets coming out of the main road that we're heading out of Hanoi on, that basically people have built shops and houses just along the edge of this road for many hours slow travel. Anyway, we eventually got to an area, I don't know how many kilometers it was north of Hanoi, when the building materials of the houses seemed to be a little bit more raw, a little less processed, and the terrain became a little bit more hilly. You could tell we'd entered the country finally and definitively. And it was actually quite a journey to get to Ba Bay National Park. Only 246 k's north of Hanoi by Australian standards. That doesn't sound like much. It takes a long time. They're very windy, bad roads. And the advantage of that is that there's not that many tourists here. So, believe it or not, I'm wearing a pith helmet as I speak. And it is the midday sun above me. I'm wearing a shirt and trousers. And this is pretty ridiculous. I've got the lyrics of Noel Coward's Mad Dogs and Englishmen song going around in my head right now, so I better get out of the sun. In case you don't know that particular song by Noel Coward, the lyrics go something like this. In the jungle town where the sun beats down to the rage of man and beast, the English garb of the English side merely gets a bit more creased. In Bangkok at 12 o'clock they foam in the mouth and run, but mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. Anyway, something like that. The point was that while I was in Ba Bay National Park, I decided to ask the director of the park a little about the place.
Năm 1977 thì đã được chính phủ công nhận nó là khu rừng cấm quốc gia.
Khu rừng cấm. In 1977, the government recognized the national park as it is not a natural park at that moment, but they recognized it at the banned forest of the country. But then in 1992, they established the national park.
And that's okay. Và cũng từ năm 1992 thì bắt đầu cũng được sự quan tâm của trung ương.
The investment for infrastructures has been come here from since 1992, and before that from 1977 to 1992. That there were almost no investment here.
And do they have a problem with illegal hunting in the national park?
Ở đây mình có vấn đề gì đối cả cái việc mà săn bắn ở đây không? Nghĩa săn bắn ở đây là trái phép.
Yes, illegal for hunting here.
Trước đây thì đã có cái dự án park hỗ trợ cho dự án park ấy, đã hỗ trợ cho vườn quốc gia và để cùng với các xã là thu đổi toàn bộ súng săn. Có nghĩa là dân tự nộp và mình giả kinh phí cho dân theo cái
many years ago under the the support of the park project, so they, you know, they took on their like hunting equipment from local people here, so they give them money back for that, and that's a part of project.
Cả coi như là các xã vùng đệm và cả xã vùng lõi luôn. Yeah. Như là những cái hộ dân mà có súng săn là thu đổi hết rồi.
Yeah.
Hiện tại là còn nhưng mà không đáng kể đấy.
Is you know, I all exchange, no, make a deal, exchange that money, and now I think he think that is still valuable there somewhere in natural park, but not much, you know, not many.
So they have rangers patrolling the national park.
Patrolling.
They have around staff from national park who watch to see there is no hunting.
Mình có cả tình hình không ạ?
Cái này có chứ, có lực lượng kiểm lâm.
Yes, they are like.
Lực lượng kiểm lâm thì chỉ có 40 người. 40 người chuyên làm công tác quản lý bảo vệ.
40 staff there.
40 staff here.
Yeah.
For the whole national park.
Yeah, that's right.
And how many thousand hectares is it?
Là có bao nhiêu hecta ở trong vườn quốc gia?
Vườn quốc gia có 10.000 trên 10.000 cây số được.
10,000 hectares.
And are there many areas
và có hiện tại là
có vùng nào ở trong này mà không có một người nào ở sống không ạ?
Mặc dù thôn xóm nhưng cuộc sống người ta vẫn cứ phải dựa vào rừng. Ví dụ như người ta đi gần đấy là người ta làm nương rẫy.
You know, most of the people are living in a central place and living in the villages, and they just, you know, go around. But you know, because they live in the forest, so their life based on forest. And they, you know, the money they earn from forest surveyors or forest, so
so they walk into the forest away from
that's right, but you know, not quite far from their location, you know.
Okay. And have one last question, have you had scientists here to see which different animals and
chú ơi, chú có nhiều nhà khoa học ở đây.
Công nhận là cái khu Ramsar đấy, khu đất ngầm nước đấy. Thì vừa được công nhận là khu kiểm lâm mà có cái đào lạc hoặc lạc.
You know that recently they just discovered there a new kind of birds here in the park, and then they you know, that's why the national park were just not recognized as the new Ramsar park in Vietnam.
After speaking with the director, I decided to talk with some villagers about their knowledge of the park and how things had changed here over the years.
Yeah, he said that in the past when he was more above 20 years ago, then there was a lot of monkeys and bears and tigers and school of monkeys there, and he was a little bit afraid on the road to the school when he was small because there were a lot of monkeys, and I'm not sure, but now it's not the river anymore, but in the past it used to be a river there, but now, you know, there are many land soil,
sediments and silted up the river, yeah,
something like that, yes. And then now,
and now there's no monkeys, no bears?
No, nothing. And you know that they've just built the road from since 2000, year of 2000. And
so before, how did you get to this house?
Sorry?
How did you get to this house before with no road?
Walk. Yeah, walking. And, okay. You know, from the gate of the national park to their house.
And how long did their family live here?
You know, from long time ago, long time ago. Khoảng bao nhiêu năm mình sống ở đây?
Hơn 30 năm rồi.
Không, nhưng mà tất cả từ thế hệ trước vậy à?
Từ thế hệ 4 đời.
The 4 generations.
4 đời.
Khoảng bao nhiêu năm? 300-400 năm.
Chúng này có như là như mùa này là không bao giờ có ra nhà sắn quần lội được đâu.
There used to be a lot of fish over there, but they're not actually local people here. But they moved from another province during the war time, like Japanese people came here, yeah. And then they moved from Tuyen Quang, and she moved from another part of Pakan province, and they lived here for a long time. But
what happened to all the animals that when they were here years ago, 20 years ago?
Làm sao vậy?
Did people eat them?
Mọi người ăn uống
thế
ạ? Hunt and eat them.
They hunt and eat them.
Thứ hai là săn bắn.
Chú có bao giờ đi săn?
Chú trước đi nhiều.
In the past, used to hunt.
Như mùa này là như mùa.
Con gì ạ?
Đi săn á.
Vâng, đi săn con gì?
So you don't see the monkeys very often in Ba Bể?
Yeah, yeah. Now we just can see monkeys different in like over there, you know.
Finally, I thought it would be interesting to get Chris Shepherd, Deputy Director of Traffic Southeast Asia, on the phone and ask him about wildlife trafficking in Vietnam and if this might have had a hand to play in the lack of wildlife I saw in Ba Bể National Park. First, though, what is traffic?
Traffic's an organization that monitors wildlife trade at national and international levels. We look at legal trade, keeping tabs on trends as species that are legally traded become increasingly threatened, then we would work with authorities and with stakeholders to improve protection of these species. We also look a lot at illegal trade, trying to better understand the illegal trade networks and assist enforcement agencies in disrupting these networks.
So, I was in Ba Bể National Park, which is close to the border with China, a few weeks ago, talking with the villagers, and they were describing to me how over the course of the last 20 years they've noticed the disappearance of tigers and bears and monkeys and a large suite of wildlife from the national park around them. And I was wondering how much of this might have to do with the wildlife trade in that part of the world. I know you can't answer the question specifically to do with Ba Bể, but is it likely that had a hand to play?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Vietnam and a lot of the countries in the Southeast Asia region are suffering from the same problem. Wildlife trade is a growing threat. It's a very urgent threat to a lot of species, actually to a growing number of species. As one species sort of disappears or becomes increasingly rare, markets switch to other ones. Vietnam is a major consumer of wildlife itself. So there's already that pressure, but being next door neighbors to China is an additional serious threat. China's one of the largest consumers of wildlife in the world. So a lot of Southeast Asia wildlife is sort of vacuumed up into China.
So a lot of it would probably be passing through Vietnam on its way to China.
Definitely. Wildlife from Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, all goes up through Laos and through Vietnam into China. Vietnam plays a really significant role as sort of a gateway into China.
And the trade is also to do with supplying the Vietnamese with exotic wildlife. Is this for medicine or food or both?
Both. Generally, food, medicine are two of the major threats in that part of the world, but also increasingly there's a demand for pets and luxury items, snake skin, lizard skin items, ivory, which is purely luxury. It's not for medicine or food or anything.
Okay, and could you take me through a typical supply chain from start to finish, starting, say, with villages like the ones I met in Ba Bể to a Chinese doctor in Beijing?
Sure. A lot of wildlife, for example, is harvested in Sumatra, Indonesia. Let's say pangolins or freshwater turtles. They're harvested by people who aren't relying solely on wildlife as an income. Usually it's people who are working in a rural setting like a plantation or logging or farming. And anyone living in a rural situation knows which wildlife you can sell and prices. And there'll be agents that sort of cover certain areas. So you might find a pangolin while working in the plantation. An agent will come to your village and you can sell that off, or you can easily find an agent that will buy it. Those agents then in turn sell it on to larger dealers, sometimes there's a few steps of larger dealers, but generally these people then compile shipments large enough to go, and they're sent often by boat from directly from Sumatra, let's say from the port in Medan, Blawan, by boat to Haiphong port in Vietnam, or by boat to Malaysia, where they're then trucked by land from Malaysia up through the Thai Peninsula, through Laos, and into Vietnam. Now, once these are in Vietnam, they're either sold locally for restaurants, in which case Vietnam does have a big market, or else they move on into China for traditional medicines there, and there'll be agents at different steps of the way along the trade chain. But once they reach China, then it's all a well-organized sale. The entire thing is very well organized, from point of capture, no matter where that is, all the way to the point of sale.
Okay, and how's the battle against this trade going?
We're losing badly. The list of threatened species is getting longer all the time. I'm sure you just read the recent news of the Javan rhinos, the rhinos in Java finally being declared finished. We're looking at freshwater animals like the groups of freshwater turtles or the pangolins or toke geckos, these sort of things that are heavily traded for both meat and medicine in countries like Vietnam and more so in China. The way things are going, there's very little hope for them. Things aren't going well.
And so I guess if I'm in a restaurant in Hanoi, I might find some endangered species on the menu. It's not inconceivable.
Very likely. It's very likely you will. In fact, in a lot of this region, it's quite easy to find illegal wildlife for sale on them in these restaurants. Pangolins, porcupines, you can even, you know, bear paw. Occasionally you'll get some of the big cats. Wild meat, the bush meat trade, as it's termed, usually in an African context, is much different here than it is in a lot of African countries where it's more of a protein need. Here it's more of a luxury, almost a fashion, a status. If you want, you can impress your friends by taking them out and eating something rare and illegal.
But a restaurant couldn't be prosecuted for supplying that kind of thing, could they?
They could be. They could be and they should be. But they're open all over the place. It doesn't take much of an investigation to find restaurants selling illegal meat. This is something we really are encouraging the authorities to take action against, because these restaurants are having a significant impact on the region's wildlife.
Hmm. Okay, well, thanks very much, Chris Shepherd.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for listening to Understory. If you'd like to see photos from my trip to the rainforests of northern Vietnam, please visit my blog at www.tmwilson.org/blog. Before I go, I'd like to leave you with a recording I made sitting in a little villager's hut in the valley in Ba Be National Park. As we sipped rice wine liquor, one of the farmer women started to sing, and I pressed record. This is the voice of Hien Ting Huan, a local Tay woman. See you next time.
Lỡ ơi nàng, nàng ơi nơi, thả vần tiều biển kêu, ơi mưa tây, nồng nhằng bay tí hư bên này, ơi nàng à nó. Lỡ ơi nàng à nàng ơi nơi, nồng mà này khao sán, ơi bù lê bay.